Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. As a way of reminder, the last several weeks we have been looking at the people who have intentionally or unintentionally proclaimed Jesus as Messiah or Lord or King or some variation of that. And if you'll remember with me, we looked at Pilate, and he called Jesus the King of the Jews and actually had that put in print at the top of his cross. We looked at the three women who were named by Luke in his gospel, who came to the tomb on the first day of the week, and they remembered the things that Jesus had said when they encountered the angels. We remember Saint Dismas, the other thief on the cross, who asked Jesus to remember him, and Jesus told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then we looked at the centurion, and he proclaimed, "This is God's Son," after all of the events around Jesus' death. And then last week, if you'll remember, we looked at the two men who came to the apostles as they were sitting there just kind of looking at them and said, "Jesus is going to return in the same way you have seen him go." And today we reach kind of the culmination of these different stories, because again, we have been emphasizing and recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in the lives of these individuals. So with that being said, let us hear now from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. "All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as his children. With this spirit we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. But if we are children, we are also heirs. We are God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ if we really suffer with him, so that we can also be glorified with him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, this season, this time that we can celebrate your love and grace in our midst. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this your word, and we pray that it would that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today's passage reminds us, all those who have the Holy Spirit are worthy to proclaim God, because we have received the Holy Spirit, and if we have received the Holy Spirit, that is proof that we are the adopted children of God. And as those children, we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That is what all of this means, and that is what all of this has been leading to for us. The celebration of Pentecost is not only the birthday of the church as we understand it today, but it is the celebration of our adoption as children of God through the salvation we receive in Jesus Christ. And it is indeed the Holy Spirit that affirms and reassures us of our salvation. He affirms and assures us that we who call on the name of Jesus Christ are indeed sons and daughters of God through that adoption. To use terminology that's familiar today with those that adopt, this is our forever home, right? We are called to this forever home, which is the kingdom of God, God's place with us. This adoption and this metaphor that Paul uses was pretty significant in Rome back in this time. Adoption then was significantly different than it is today. Typically, well-to-do families who did not have an heir would adopt someone legally under Roman law in order for that person to then be the heir apparent whenever that person passed away. And so oftentimes slaves were adopted, trusted slaves that maybe had been with the family for a long time or something of that nature. And there were often families who were very poor that hoped at one point, if they sold themselves into slavery, that they may be adopted at some point so that they could be the heir of a more wealthy family. And we can recognize the importance of this, then, of course, in our own lives. God is adopting us so that we might inherit the world. and we might be inheritors of God's kingdom here on earth. And this points us back, of course, to Genesis, when God puts us in charge of this great universe that he has created, and he asks us to take care of it, to steward it, to do with it what we are supposed to do. We've made a few bad choices over the years, and again, here he is reminding us that we are adopted, and because of that, we are to run things the way that he expects. And Jesus has been that example for us over the last several years, especially in the lives of the disciples who are present at Pentecost. And we are to care for the world and those who are in it, and we are reminded that it is now our task because Jesus has ascended. He has returned to the right hand of the Father, and so those of us who are left are now in charge of taking care of God's world and God's people. As we have looked at these who have proclaimed Jesus over the last several weeks, I hope that you've begun to get a sense that the Holy Spirit can and wants to use all of us. I think the genius of the examples and the people we have in Scripture are we can see how fallen and broken they are, and we think to ourselves, well, man, if they can be used by God, I can be used by God, right? And that's kind of the sense we get. And over these last several weeks, we've looked at people who maybe didn't know what they were saying, or maybe they did know what they were saying, but the culture and the society of the day said, no, you're not in a position to make these kind of claims or statements. And we're reminded today that none of us are incapable power of the Holy Spirit. Like those we have considered, each one of us has had opportunities to proclaim Jesus as Lord. Many times we've done it unintentionally. Other times maybe we've done it unintentionally. And people have maybe seen the way that we've acted or carried ourselves, and they've come to a better understanding of Jesus. The Holy Spirit works in us as he has in others. Like Pilate, how many of us have spent time dialoguing with Jesus, asking him questions? What is truth, Jesus? Who are you? Are you the king of the Jews, as they suppose? What's going on? How many of us have had those types of conversations? We've tried to figure Jesus out, only to recognize that he's beyond our comprehension, and that, unfortunately, more often than not, he answers our own questions with questions of his own that cause us to look inward and to be more mindful. Like the women who were there on the first day of the week, we remember the things that Jesus has told us. The Holy Spirit prompts these memories in us. We have encountered the risen Jesus, and like these women, we are called to proclaim that Easter message. Like Saint Dismas, the other thief, we've had opportunities in our own lives to own our own failures and to say, you know what, I made a mistake. And then in that same sentence, we have the opportunity, like Dismas, to ask for forgiveness for those mistakes. Every morning I wake up, I say, good morning, Jesus, I'm sorry. And I lean over and say, good morning, Abby, I'm sorry for something that I've probably done. Seeking forgiveness, owning those failures. Like the centurion, we have identified Jesus as God's son. And oftentimes when we do that, it comes at some cost. We remember, of course, the centurion, to make the claim that Jesus was God's son was to put him in competition with Caesar, who claims to be God's son. And so there was some cost that was going to be inevitable for him. And for many of us, though we don't face persecution the way they did back then, and we certainly don't tend to face it the way that others in our current world face it, there is some of that, and it can be costly to proclaim Jesus as God's son, and we remember that, and we are mindful of that. Like the two men we looked at last week who could have been angels, maybe they were Moses and Elijah, as we talked about, we don't really know, but we have seen Jesus in our midst. We recognize Christ is present. Christ has been present today in our time together, and we have the opportunity to share that with others. Today, this Pentecost Sunday, because the Holy Spirit is with us, we are able to cry, Abba, Father. We are no longer slaves to sin in Jesus, but through the Holy Spirit, we are adopted children of God. And we've been promised that if we suffer with Jesus, we will also be glorified with Jesus, verse 17. The suffering is never the end. It is only a part. Again, Jesus is present with us, and today he wants us to be present with him. And the Holy Spirit is how we do that. The Holy Spirit is the one who advocates on our behalf. God's Spirit is present with us today, calling and wooing as he always does. As we witnessed these baptisms today, we are reminded that we are beloved children of God, just as the Father said that to Jesus upon his baptism. Will we allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us where we do not know? Will we allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to consume us and to purify us and to make us holy and sanctified? We no longer have anything to fear, as Paul says in this passage, because we have been adopted by God. There may be unknowns yet to come, but we know who our Father is. We know that he will continue to guide and lead and be with us. We have seen that now twice, through the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and through the current presence of the Holy Spirit with us now. What more do we need? We now know love intimately enough to cast our fears onto Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through Jesus Christ, we have a place with God. And because of that, we can be thankful. Amen. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you this day for all that you do for us, for all that you continue to ask of us and expect of us. May we be reminded that we are surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We all stand here this day as followers of Jesus, co-heirs of all that you have given. May you give us wisdom and discernment to continue to seek you in all that we do. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things.